Well, hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vets program for the month of April this afternoon. Here to take your calls, Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital in Del Mar, New York, a USDA Category 1 accredited veterinarian. Dr. O'Loughlin is a graduate of Cornell University. She joined the Del Mar Animal Hospital staff in 1998. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. Go to Facebook if you want, WAMC Radio on Facebook, and there'll be a Vox Pop post there on which you can comment. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Radio. Just use the hashtag Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But once again, the number here is 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, you know, a great guest on this program is one who shows up even when she's sick. Good for you. Thanks for being here. You didn't have to do that.
That's okay. It's just a little cold.
All right. Well, you'll make it through, and we'll bring you honey and lemon and tea at the break, whatever you need. So what's new?
I guess one thing I wanted to bring up, there's been a lot of talk lately about a dog flu outbreak.
Okay. That's not what you have?
No.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
But there was a dog flu outbreak going on out in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten several calls at our hospital with people worried about it. The dog flu, basically, it's a similar flu virus that people get. Mm-hmm. There have been several outbreaks around the country in the past few years. The first one was down in Florida. There was one down in New York City, which has been the closest one to us. This one, actually, it turns out, is a completely different virus. It's a virus out of Asia. Mm-hmm. So there is a dog flu vaccine that they came out with after the outbreak in Florida. But they're very unsure whether that vaccine will actually help in this outbreak because it's a completely different flu virus. The other thing is the flu vaccine doesn't actually stop dogs from getting the flu. It just helps decrease the severity of their signs.
And so, what about side effects with some of these vaccines? Are they pretty safe?
They are. We try not to vaccinate where it's not needed. So our practice currently is not carrying the flu vaccine because we just don't feel it's a problem in this area.
Yeah.
If we start getting outbreaks here, then absolutely. But, you know, you could vaccinate against everything and it's not necessarily going to help.
They're spread the same way as human flus?
Yes. And unfortunately, this one's pretty contagious. Dogs supposedly can just walk by each other.
Wow.
And spread it. A lot of dogs get sick. Thankfully, just as in humans, there are pretty few deaths, but it can kill dogs. Just like in humans, the very old, the very young, people with dogs
illnesses.
Right. Compromised immune systems.
So I would think that the one that was happening in New York City would be a concern because some weekenders will go back to New York with their pets.
Correct.
And so that could be something that would pop up on the radar here.
Right. And my understanding is there were one or two cases in this area that were from dogs that came up from the city. But it luckily never blew up into an outbreak here.
Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. The phone line's already loaded here. Just if you hear somebody hang up, that's your cue to call. 1-800-348-2551. We kick it off with Barbara in High Falls. Hi, Barbara. You're on.
Hi, thanks very much. I hope this isn't too frivolous, but I have a cat, a female cat. She's about 11 years old, otherwise healthy, all healthy. But she is absolutely obsessed with drinking water out of the bathtub faucet. And she will go in there whenever I go into the bathroom, which is where her food and her boxes and so forth, her territory. She gets in the tub, and she stares at me until I finally give in and trickle a little water down, and then she laps it up. I hardly ever see her drink water out of her fresh water every day. Once in a while, she'll put her paw in and then look at it.
Yeah. Well, I would say, Barbara, this is very common. A lot of cats really enjoy running water. I have a cat myself. I have six cats, but of my six cats, one of my cats, every day we need to turn on the kitchen faucet and let her drink.
Huh.
No kidding.
So the one thing you could consider doing is they do make water fountains for cats.
You're kidding me.
Yeah,
really?
it's a little recirculating thing. It has a little motor in it, and it just sort of trickles out a little waterfall of water. We had one for a while, and unfortunately, it eventually burned out. We just didn't replace it. But your cat may really enjoy that. You know, it's just a fairly normal cat behavior.
Thank you. I thought probably, but it did seem so odd. And I will try to be nicer to her.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
So cats are, I mean, we've already discussed this. They can be just nuts.
Yes.
And
yes.
So some just like from the tap.
Exactly. I mean, you do have to be careful. There are certainly, especially with an 11-year-old cat, there are a lot of older cat diseases that will make them drink more water.
Yeah.
So if they're suddenly crazy about water, then it's something you want to have checked out. But if it's been their behavior, and I mean, the cat I have is only 4 and she's done this since she was a kitten, so it's just her normal behavior.
Right. And I would think if the cat had an issue, an age-related issue, kidneys or whatever, the cat would, regardless of whether they like it out of the tap, would also drink it out of the bowl. Anything
generally,
they could get.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All right, let's go to Dawn in Furabush. Dawn, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Can you hear me?
Sure.
Yep. I have a question for the doctor about gigantic platelets. We have a 5-year-old German Shepherd who seems to be in great health. She does have an autoimmune disease called plasmoma, which is very stable. But we wanted to do a baseline because we were thinking she doesn't travel very well. So we wanted to get sort of a natural sedative for her so that she doesn't freak out when she's in the car. So we did a baseline, and everything came back great, including, you know, her Lyme titers and any other, tick-borne bacteria. But we discovered that there's something called gigantic platelet. I think I'm saying it right. We're doing a retest on Friday, but I just wondered if you could just talk a little bit about that.
Gigantic platelets.
Well, I got to tell you, Dawn, you got me on that one.
Wow.
I certainly know of a lot of diseases that cause a decrease in the number of platelets. I'm not familiar with the gigantic platelets.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'd have to do a little research on that. My assumption would be, assuming that they are not overly sticky. You know, platelets are what cause your blood to clot. As part of the clotting cascade. So if they're gigantic and working normally, I wouldn't think it would be an issue. Hmm. If they're gigantic and extra sticky, where they're going to start causing clotting issues where you don't want to be clotting, then that would be a problem.
Dawn, the connection is not very good here, so we'll let you go, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, I wish I could have helped you more.
That's frightening. It's almost like a Godzilla scenario, you know? Maybe the dog will get very huge at some point. Let's go to Howard in New Paltz. Howard, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I'm just wondering if you know much about stem cell therapy for dogs and cats.
Are you talking about stem cell therapy as far as for arthritis?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, they did come out several years ago with the idea that it sounds very bizarre, but you basically do a surgery where you take some abdominal fat out of the animal,
uh-huh.
And you send it. They send it off to a company. The last I knew, it was the company was out in California, and you ship the fat off to California, and they extracted stem cells out of the fat, and then you would have those put either directly into the joint that was affected, or you could also put it intravenously for animals that had multiple joints affected. And I did have one client who went for it. There is a practice in the area that does it.
Does it work?
And she thought it worked great for her dog.
Hmm.
But that's only a patient of one.
Right.
Obviously, you go on the website about it, and they have a lot of testimonials. But it hasn't become a very widespread thing. It's pretty expensive. Costing several thousand dollars to have it done, and sometimes you need to have it done more than once. But I know my one client who had it done, she had an old German Shepherd that could barely walk, and she was thrilled with the results.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. They do it with humans also, with the same results, I've heard.
Yeah.
All right, Howard. Thanks a lot for the call.
Okay, thank you.
appreciate it. Why the fat cells from, why the stem cells from the stomach fat?
I guess it's just an easy, you know, you always have lots of extra fat in the belly. So I guess it's just an easy
extraction.
Yes.
Oh, very good. All right. Over to Sue in New Marlboro. Sue, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. I have a cat that's going to be 11 next month. And a few months ago, while we were visiting in Florida, we take her down with us in a carrier in the car. She began to lick anything that was brass in the house, whether it was lamp stands or door stops or handles on the kitchen cabinet doors, and just would, I ended up covering everything in saran wrap. She continued to do it the whole time we were in Florida, and then we came home, and she hasn't done it since, except for one time. And I wondered if there's something I should be aware of when...
Okay.
Interesting. So you have brass here, and she doesn't lick it here?
And she doesn't lick it here. And my husband did see her going towards the lamp once, and he said, oh, this is starting again. And she sort of went and sniffed at it. We made a noise, and she went away. I haven't seen anything since. But it was absolutely all day long when we were in Florida.
Weird.
For a good 3 weeks.
Huh. I wonder if it's, being that it was in Florida, if it was something to do with the humidity, somehow making the brass get a flavor that that she liked.
The houses are pretty much, you know, they're have a, you've got the central air on
right.
all the time. And,
yeah.
and she's not an outdoor cat, so
right.
she does not go outdoors.
I mean, the only thing I could think of was it was some sort of a stress reliever for her, you know, that she was in a strange place.
Hmm.
Huh. Had she ever been to that house before?
Yes, yes. And this started about, I would say 3 weeks after we were there.
Hmm.
Huh.
We usually get there. She checks all the rooms, does her routine, and
right.
then settles in, and that's it. And about 3 weeks after that, as I say, but it was just incessant.
Wow.
Yeah, I would have to think it was some sort of a stress response.
Okay.
And or she started doing that and just decided that, ooh, I kind of like the taste of that.
But then she forgot by the time she got home. Sue, thanks a lot for the call. We got to take a break here. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest, and it's Pets and Vets, as you may have guessed. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Emmerich Sales and Service, serving the Capital Region, providing new or used compact tractors, lawn tractors, and handheld equipment by Kubota, Yanmar, Cub Cadet, Toro, and more since 1968. EmmerichSales.com. Poughkeepsie Farm Project, connecting food, farm, and community. Organically grown CSA shares now available for the 2015 season. FarmProject.org. Washington County Tourism, featuring Battenkill-inspired events and activities including culinary, galleries, outings, music venues, and outdoor happenings, WashingtonNYCounty.com. And the Honest Weight Food Co-op in Albany, New York, hosting a public strategic planning event, honestweight.coop/community events for details.
Vox Pop on WAMC, Pets and Vets. Ray Graff here, joined today by Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. And you at home, the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Jackie in Beckett, Massachusetts. Hello, Jackie. Jackie?
My name is Jackie.
I'm sorry, what is the name?
Jackie.
Jackie, yes, you're on.
Jackie, J-E-S-S-I-E.
Fair enough, Jesse, you're on.
Are we okay?
Yeah. Okay. We're on the radio now, so.
That's okay. I'm sorry. Somebody just hit my car.
Oh, ouch. you want to call back?
Nope. That's fine. We're fine.
Okay.
I actually have a 15-year-old basset hound who gets bouts of vertigo. And when he gets them, they're so severe that he can't even stand up. His head shakes, and all that the vets have suggested to me is just to give him Dramamine. And so I was wondering if there was any other sort of medication or any other thing that I could do for him to help him.
So, Jesse, so he's had more than one of these bouts.
This is actually the second bout since we've had him. I'm the adoption coordinator for New England Bass at Home Rescue. So we often end up with the old guys that nobody wants to adopt, and they come and they live with us.
Right.
And he was given back because somebody had thought that he had a seizure. I believe that it was about a vertigo. The last time I rushed him to the hospital and they had diagnosed it as vertigo, and then it had just started again yesterday.
Okay. I'm assuming they've looked in his ears to make sure, with a basset hound, of course, they've got those big, deep ear canals.
Right.
You know, with vertigo, basically vertigo is just a balance issue. And it you have to rule out, is it an ear issue or is it a middle ear issue or is it a brain issue?
Yeah.
The older dogs, like a 15, 16-year-old dog, certainly can get what's called idiopathic geriatric vestibular syndrome, which means we don't know what causes it. It happens in old dogs, and they just get dizzy.
Yeah.
But pretty much most of the time, that's a one-time occurrence. It's pretty rare for it to happen over and over again.
Okay.
So a dog that's having it over and over again, I would be much more concerned that he has a middle or inner ear infection.
Mm.
And
Okay. Sometimes
you don't see anything in the outer ear canal. Sometimes you have to sedate them and get a good look down in there and see what their eardrum looks like.
Okay.
But in the meantime, certainly something like Dramamine. There's also a prescription medication called Serenia that helps with motion sickness.
Okay.
Because basically that's the problem. He's dizzy. So he goes to stand up, he's dizzy, he falls over. So you want to give him something to help. And then also just assisting him when he walks, you know, sometimes putting a towel under him and sort of helping to keep him upright when he's trying to walk.
Mm.
Yeah, we have a little sling for him that we use to get him outside. And we also, of course, he's been going potty inside, so we have him on. We have pee pads everywhere over our house, too, just to be sure. So I should definitely get him checked for an inner ear infection.
Definitely. Okay. Especially since he's had repeated bouts.
Thanks, Jackie.
Okay. Sounds good.
Good luck.
Thank you.
You know, you're a dedicated guest for being here with a cold. She's a dedicated caller. She just got hit by a car, and she's calling in. That goes in the Hall of Fame. Daryl in Poughkeepsie. Daryl, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Doctor.
Hi.
I have a question. My much-loved 15-year-old Australian Shepherd, I had to put her down last month. And she had this very peculiar disease, and I couldn't find any information on it. I wonder if you've heard of it. It's called, a stupid name for a terrible thing, it's called press head disease. And I could only find it on the internet, where they walk into corners and just stand there. Or they'll press their head against the wall and just remain there.
Right.
And I was wondering if you knew anything about it.
I don't know that I've ever heard of it called a specific disease. I mean, in my mind, when they head pressing is certainly a sign, and it's basically a sign that there's something going on in the brain. So in my mind, it's not necessarily a singular disease.
It's a symptom?
It's a sign of a disease.
Oh, okay. I took her in to have her eyes checked because I thought maybe it was just too dark.
Right.
And she didn't know, maybe she was disoriented. But she had a seizure in front of me, and I had my phone, and I taped it and showed it to the doctor, and he said, that's it. It's always fatal. It's in her brain, and you have to take care of it.
Yeah, yeah. Again,
I'm just wondering if that's common.
Yeah, again, a seizure is also a sign of a brain, you know, something going on in the brain. And so, if you have dog having seizures and head pressing, it's some sort of brain issue. Now, it could be a tumor, it could be, you know, some sort of a stroke, it could, you know, anything. The only way, unfortunately, to know would have involved doing an MRI.
Yeah.
Because you can't x-ray the head.
I had never seen the seizure before. I saw the seizure and immediately took her to the doctor, and he said, "I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is the end."
Yeah.
But
to be honest,
a neurological thing.
And to be honest, in a dog of that age, if they start having signs like that, you know, especially if it's progressing, you probably did the right thing letting her go. Because
it happened really, really fast.
Yep.
In the course of a week, it just went boom.
Yep. And that generally makes me think brain tumor, because when a dog has a brain tumor, a lot of times the brain does its best it can to move out of the way until it can't anymore.
Yeah.
And then it's like the wheels come off and everything just falls apart.
That's what happened. And her sister, the weird thing is her sister is fine.
Yep.
It's totally fine.
Yep. Well,
same, you know.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness these are not always inherited issues.
Yeah,
so.
Daryl, thanks a lot for the call.
Sorry about your dog.
Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Joanne in Kingston is on. Joanne.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Hi, I have a cat. I guess she's about 11 or 12 or so. And she's fine. She's beautiful and runs and grabs and jumps, and she's fine. But if I have a plastic bag of any sort, well, especially she's very fond of those very cheap, chintzy plastic bags, she will chew on them and swallow them. And I didn't notice this until about last year sometime, and I saw, you know, she vomited it up. But my God, what if she doesn't?
Yes. So these are like the plastic shopping bags, like you get at like Price Chopper. Yeah.
Well, I always use cloth bags. I mean, I have, but now and again, you just forget. So you know, you can't be 100. You know, and I don't. If I don't think of it, you know, she's there. Rustle. I can hear it. The scratchy. I can hear her beating on it, and I tell her very sternly, no. And I hate to be so mean.
Yeah.
But you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, again, this is another fairly common cat thing. There are cats that just love plastic shopping bags.
Really?
They'll shred them up completely. They'll play with them. They'll get tangled in them and panic and run through the house wearing the shopping bag, which I'm sure there are a lot of YouTube videos out there about that.
No, she doesn't do that.
Right.
She doesn't do that. She just chews.
Right. But there certainly are a number of cats that will chew them, and they can cause obstruction. So,
Oh my gosh,
you know, the best thing I can say is just really get in the habit when you get home with one of those. Either toss it out or throw it in your recycling bin or put
it
in
recycling
the...
or I wind it up and...
Yep.
Form it into a ball. Basically, you ball it up.
Yep. But just, you know, keep them out of her reach because she's going to want to keep playing with them.
Okay.
There's nothing you can do. But it is common. I'm surprised. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's relatively common.
Relatively. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks.
Okay.
I'm doing the right thing, of course.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Let's go over to Jen in Walden, New York. Jen, you're on.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Ken.
Ken, how are you? You don't sound like a Jen. Hi, Ken. You're on.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I have a question. I have a 5-year-old Staffordshire Terrier, and I'm having a problem with him introducing him to new dogs. He's very, very gentle with people. He was raised by me and my fiance, so he's not been in an aggressive or an abused environment. He gets along with very, very few dogs. And I noticed that if we put a harness on him and we introduce them with a leash, it tends to be a good meeting for the dogs. Do you have any tips on how to introduce another dog to my dog?
Well, I will say that dogs that have social interaction issues with other dogs, it can be one of the tougher behaviors if they're aggressive at all to other dogs. What you do want to do is you want to try and do it on neutral territory if you can. And some dogs are better on the leash and some dogs are better off the leash. You know, so if you could introduce them off leash with like a fence between them so they can sniff each other and not get at each other. The other thing is to, you know, if he shows any aggression, do his hackles go up or is he growling or what kind
usually,
of behaviors?
What I found is say he'll meet a new dog. They'll kind of sniff each other out and then very, very quick, it elevates. It's either, I don't know really who aggresses, but either he'll just flare up and bark, or the other dog will instigate him. But, like, he's got, my fiance's father has a dog, and they get along great, and she's a much smaller pit bull. She's a rescue, and they get along great.
Yep.
and one of my other friends' dogs, they get along great, but introducing them to other, you know, foreign dogs that I guess aren't in our circle of scent, I guess, it's very frustrating because I want to be able to take them to dog parks and stuff, yeah. And automatically when people see him, they automatically cower away because,
yes,
you know, he's a pit bull.
Right. Have you taken him to class?
No, we haven't taken him to class. We talked to our veterinarian and we tried those wipes.
The calming.
I forget what they're called.
The calming pheromone wipes. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And they seem to not do much. We tried the collar too. It's just we were thinking about taking him to a behavior class.
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea because it teaches him to listen to you. It teaches him to listen to you around other animals. And it gets him more used to being in a situation where there are other dogs.
Right.
And I would be sure to talk to whatever class you go to and explain that you have a dog that has some interdog aggression issues and that you're trying to work on it. And there are some classes around that specifically will cater to that and, you know, work specifically to help you get over that.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the info and take care. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Ken, thanks a lot for the call. Okay. Remember the question about the cat that licked the brass down in Florida? All right. This is from Jack in Olive Bridge. An email came in. Jack says, there's something in the air in Florida besides excess moisture, and that's a lot of salt. Even though the AC will filter that out along with the water, if the air conditioner is off when the people are up north, then a lot of condensation with the dissolved salt will get deposited on cold metal objects, and brass is especially subject to condensation. Washing the brass when they arrive for the winter should change that behavior after a period of habit licking.
Oh.
That makes sense.
That does make sense. Yep, if it was salty.
Well done, Jack. Thank you for emailing us at voxpop@wamc.org. Let's go to Marianne in Niskayuna. Marianne.
Hi. I've got cats. I've had cats for like the past 30 years, and my current pair get along well enough, but they don't have the same kind of camaraderie my other cat pairs have had. And I was just wondering if you had any suggestions on how to encourage it. They can eat out of the same dish, but, you know, they will. One is just sitting there minding its own business. The other one will come and bop it, you know. And no vicious fights generally, but I don't see the closeness that I'd like to. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, I will tell you that you may not be able to make these guys be the best of friends, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
They say that cats basically have three levels of acceptance when mm-hmm. meeting a new cat. They go through the I hate you stage, then it comes to the sort of tolerating stage, and then finally full acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And not all cats get through all three stages. It's pretty rare that they get stuck in the I hate you stage, but they often will just get to tolerating. Do they both like to play?
I've tried. They will, you know, go. One used to play fetch with balls, of all things. And, you know, I throw things for them, like, you know, wadded up aluminum foil and those dangly toys on strings.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, if you can try and get them to play together, mm-hmm. then sometimes that will get them to be a little more friendly. But you can't, unfortunately, you can't force cats to do much of anything. But you certainly can't.
Yeah.
You can't force them to be friends.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes it'll change over time. I mean, I have two older cats who just sort of lived in the same house together for years. And now that they're both like 17 years old, they sleep on top of each other all the time.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
That's kind of what I was hoping that they would do, because my previous cats had done this. But these two are not at that stage yet.
Right. Right. So, you can't push it. You just have to keep, you know, trying to let them interact and you know, try and keep things from escalating the other way. You don't want them, you know, getting worse.
Yeah, they do, you know, they can, like, sleep on the same piece of furniture.
Right.
And I can have them on either side of me and pet them both at the same time, and there's no harsh words spoken.
Right. So that may be the best you can ask for.
Okay. And one other thing with a previous cat I had, I appreciate the woman whose cat chewed plastic. I had one who licked plastic and licked plastic
wow.
and licked. Never destroyed the bags, but oh my God, it would drive you crazy listening to it.
Thanks, Marianne. We appreciate the call.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, bye.
Okay. Isn't there a, Dr. O'Loughlin, a product of some kind that you, hormonal-based, that you can sort of spray and keep
yes.
the cats that are not happy with each other
yes.
a little more pacified?
Yes, and it's kind of what the gentleman with the pit bull was talking about. There are pheromones. Pheromones are the basically the odors that cats and dogs put out. And they have come up with one called Feel Away for cats,
yeah.
which is sort of the feel good, happy pheromone. And it comes in sprays, it comes in plug in diffusers and wipes and things like that. So if you're having a cat that cats that really don't get along, a lot of times that'll help.
So in other words, they have plug in like an air freshener kind
yep.
of thing?
Yep.
So isn't that at some point, will they get a tolerance to that?
They probably would, but it's still, it's when your cat rubs and bumps up against you and rubs on
yeah.
you, they're rubbing that scent on you.
But
so it's something that they're used to having around.
Is there a moral dilemma where you're altering a cat forever then by doing that?
No, I don't think it's a...
No? You're not up at night going, geez, I shouldn't be using mind-altering substances on my cat? All right, fair enough.
If you're trying to have peace in the house, I think it's worth it.
Okay, I'll note that. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Zach, the engineer, is nodding, so I assume he agrees with you, Dr. O'Loughlin. It is Vox Pop. It is Pets and Vets. And that soothing music means it's time for some underwriting.
Support for WAMC comes from Wash & Wag Pet Grooming Salon, Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Professionally trained groomers, organic, natural products, no cage drying, Facebook and 866-WASH-WAG. The Whistling Kettle, tea shops and cafes in Ballston Spa and downtown Troy, New York. Serving Mother's Day tea, thewhistlingkettle.com for reservations and gift ideas. Edward Garbosik, Certified Financial Planner, serving all of Western Massachusetts, providing customized financial retirement strategies for those approaching or in retirement. ed@havocandwealthstrategies.com. And Interim Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day so you or a loved one can stay in your home. Supporting the Mohawk Hudson Land Conservancy, interimhealthcare.com.
Ah, lovely soothing music. Relaxing here on the Vox Pop. Ray Graff here with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital. And these two were on Facebook. Dr. O. Janelle says, I have a 17-year-old blind cat who's getting a little senile. We'll be moving soon. Do you have any suggestions to ease the transition for him so he is not completely confused and disoriented?
Well, the first thing I would do is plan on setting up one small room for him with some very familiar furniture that was from your original house. Certainly his food and his water dish and his litter box close by where he can find it.
Mm-hmm.
And, some furniture set up at least hopefully somewhat like it was in a room that he's familiar with. But cats are pretty good. I mean, they use their other senses. So
yeah.
he will figure it out pretty quickly. But
17 years old is getting up there.
Yes, it's getting up there. And unfortunately, they do get some senility, so that can be an issue. But I would start with just keeping him in one room to make sure he knows where the litter box and the food are, and then slowly introduce him to the rest of the house.
All right, and this one is from Nina, also on Facebook. I love this one. Any suggestions for convincing a cat that it's not cool to purposefully knock things off surfaces? I have 6 cats total. This particular cat, Stella, is one of 2 new adult cats I'm integrating into the tribe. Stella purposefully nudges objects off of shelves and desks, etc. I've seen her do it. It's like she's checking to make sure gravity still works. There goes another crazy cat.
Yeah, I guess my suggestion would be she just needs more playtime.
Yeah?
I would just play with her a whole lot. She probably is a little bored and a little anxious being in a new situation. So I'd get the fishing pole toy out, get the laser pointer out, and
yeah.
just tire her out.
Now, I wonder if Stella would be good, say, in the space shuttle or on the space station in a weightless situation. I wonder what Stella would do then. Yeah, you know what? All right, let's forget it. Allie and Troy. Allie, you're on. Hello. Are you there?
Yeah, hello?
Hello, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I have a cat, and she's basically, she's got a cut on her forehead, and she just keeps scratching at it and scratching it. She's had it for about 2 years now, and we tried using the ointment and putting, like, a hood on her, and she just doesn't like that at all. She can't eat with it, and we're just trying to figure out what to do.
How old is this cat?
About 13 years old.
Okay. And this just started in the last year or so?
No, it's been a little bit more than a year, maybe almost 2 years.
Okay. Because generally, scratching at the forehead area in cats is a sign of allergy.
Ah.
If she started it at like the age of 11 or so, then unless you had just moved to a completely new environment, it's more than likely that she has developed a food allergy.
Huh.
And cats can develop food allergy at any point in their life. What I would recommend, I mean, assuming everything else has been checked out on her, she doesn't have fleas, things like that. I would consider doing a food trial with her. And you can talk to your vet about that. But it's basically involves taking her off of everything that she puts in her mouth food-wise and putting her on an extremely limited ingredient diet.
Wow.
And there are, you know, a bunch of choices for that. But I would talk to your vet about doing a food trial.
And well, there is one thing. She keeps eating all the indoor plants that we have. And every time she does, she ends up vomiting. And we can't get her to stop doing that. So could that be connected?
Well, I suppose if she was allergic to what are in the plants, you know, the easiest thing would be to send your plants to exile for a while and see if her sores go away.
Right.
But it's usually the scratching of the forehead is an allergy.
Interesting. Thank you, Allie. We appreciate the call. Now, could it be the reverse or the inverse that the cat is eating the plants because the cat somehow instinctively knows that the plants will make her throw up, and if she's allergic to something that she eats, generally getting rid of it?
Unlikely, no. Okay. I would, you know, I think the whole thing with animals eating grass or eating plants and then vomiting, I think sometimes they're doing it because their stomach's a little upset and they're trying to soothe it, and then it doesn't work, and they throw up. But I think more times than not, they just like the taste of the plant.
Mm. Okay.
And it doesn't sit well and they throw up.
All right, let's go to Mary in Westford, New York. Mary.
Yes, I'm calling about my cat who's approximately 10 years old, and he's a big boy cat. He weighs around 20 pounds.
No boy.
But he's a gentle giant. For the last month, we have been treating him for high calcium levels and an ear infection. And what's happening is when his calcium drops because he's on prednisone, and he begins getting very wobbly. And the ear infection is kind of clearing up. We've been running back and forth to the vet a couple times a week with him. And today was very wobbly again. We had to bring him in. And they're talking about sending him for an MRI, which the doctor mentioned maybe half an hour ago.
Right.
To determine, are we dealing with something neurological at this point, which makes him wobbly? Because once he's hydrated, this has happened a few times, once he's been hydrated and the pred's been reduced, he kind of comes back.
Right.
So we don't know the underlying condition, and I was basically wondering, where are the MRI locations, and would something besides an MRI show a brain tumor or something like that?
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so really MRI is your best option for looking at the brain.
Okay.
And those structures. And there is an MRI locally in Latham.
Okay.
Cost-wise, I'm not quite sure. I believe the cost for the MRI itself is around $1,500, and that doesn't include the anesthesia and the, you know,
right,
the doctor's time,
right,
and all that.
Yeah.
So
right,
you're probably looking at, you know, $2,000+.
So it's not cheap.
I know. Yeah. At this point in time, we started saying, well, this cat cost us a trip to Bermuda. Now we've been to Europe and back twice.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Oh, boy.
But we basically want to find out what's the underlying issue, because the calcium levels were high, which indicates a tumor, but then it
drops.
On the pred, it drops significantly, And he did have tests done at an emergency vet, which did show it wasn't cancerous type of thing. You know, the blood values came back not showing cancer. Hmm. But at this point in time, we don't know what this inner ear infection that doesn't want to clear up and the high calcium levels and okay. the wobbling does go away when he's been hydrated and taken off the PRET a little bit. So
yeah.
it's
unfortunately, the high calcium problems in cats can be a bunch of different things.
Okay.
So, you know, the one option is to consider a referral to a specialty practice where they have internal medicine, they have a neurologist, and there are several in the area. So,
and you're talking in which area, doctor?
Where are you, Mary?
I'm down in the Skenevis, Westford, near Cooperstown.
Oh, okay. All right, so you're not exactly sure where.
Yeah, Cooperstown, you might actually be closer going out to Cornell.
Okay.
So that might be your best option out that way then.
Right, but there are specialists who near Latham and the other area.
Yeah, near the Albany yep. area. Mary, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Tim in Ballston Spa. Tim.
Yes, I was just curious about certain state regulations. For instance, at times when my cat has been due for a vaccination, the vet will look at their charts and say, oh, you haven't had a wellness exam in over a year. And we have to do that before we do the vaccination. Are there such things?
There aren't. The only state regulation I'm aware of is for rabies vaccine that, you know, it needs to be done by a veterinarian. Wellness exams before vaccination is honestly, it's just good medicine. It's kind of not. We're supposed to be vaccinating animals that are healthy, and so in order to practice good quality medicine, it really is in the best interest of the cat and you and us to make sure they're healthy before we vaccinate them, because our first thing is do no harm.
So it's the doctor's policy.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly, and it's our policy too. We don't like to vaccinate animals that we don't know what's going on with them. So if right. we haven't examined an animal in a year, we're going to want to examine them before we vaccinate them, because okay. You don't want to be causing them more harm. You're supposed to be helping with the vaccines, not hurting. So.
Tim, thank you very much. Over to Lori in Tribe Hill. Lori, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have three dogs. They are on Sentinel as a heartworm preventative, but I read on the box it also controls fleas. I'm concerned because I truly need a tick preventative. It's a big problem where I live. I'm concerned about buying another flea and tick product because Sentinel has flea products.
Right.
But I find solely a tick product.
Mm.
Yes, it's very hard. They really don't make too many exclusively tick-only products. I will say for the most part, if you stick with a product that is one of the better quality spot-on products, they don't get absorbed into the dog's system. So they are safe to use with, you know, products like Sentinel. You know, your other option is to use a different, you know, heartworm preventative that doesn't have the flea product in it and use a separate heartworm and flea and tick product.
Hmm.
And I think that's what I'll do when this runs out, but it was
right.
a big investment.
Yep, yep. And there are some strictly tick-only collars that you could use that generally last for about 3 months or so, and you could do that for the short term.
Okay.
That's another possibility.
When you say a higher quality, are you suggesting something along the line of Frontline?
Something along that. You know, there are certain products that stay on the outside of the dog and, you know, things like, you know, the stuff you buy in the grocery store that may be absorbed in the system and are not as safe.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much for the advice.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Lori. 1-800-348-2551. Janet in Kerhunkson. Janet, you're on.
Oh, hi, everybody. This is really exciting. I've got two suggestions. The woman who said the cat knocks things over, take off the small stuff, glue the stuff down, or use double tape. They just won't stop. And the woman who the cat eats plastic bags, put a whole lot of cloth bags in your car, and then they'll be ready. Now, my real question is, I have a wonderful cat who's 15, and she just eats and sleeps. Now, I want to get a couple of either kittens or older cats from the same litter and bring them in. I'm afraid my old cat will just go and hide. Now, is there a way, easiest way to get them together?
Well, I have found, you know, I have certainly introduced some young kittens into houses where the older cats. And certainly if you get, we're certainly heading into kitten season. So if you can get smaller kittens, I think a lot of times the older cats are less threatened. And especially if you get a pair of kittens, because they're more likely.
Well, yes, that's what I would do.
Right. They're more likely to play with each other and not harass the older cat.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, you certainly do want to make sure that the older cat has sort of her own little territory, though, where she can get to food and litter without having to deal with the little brats that she's getting used to. And, you know, don't push it. You know, I would start by, you know, potentially putting the kittens in a room by themselves and letting her have the run of the house and then slowly introducing them.
Mm-hmm. The kittens can use the computer.
Yes, exactly.
Well done. Thank you, Janet.
And good luck.
Thank you.
Bye now. Over to Michelle in Albany. Hi, Michelle, you're on. Michelle?
Hello?
Michelle?
Yes.
You're on.
Oh, great. I have a problem with one of my cats. He's about 3 years old, and he likes to choke himself. He will hang his neck and his head over anything low, like a waste basket or a laundry basket. Whenever he can find something, he will hang his head until he coughs and chokes.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah, I guess I would have to agree. It sounds like just some sort of a weird behavior that he has. It seems like it's going to have to be pretty self-limiting. I mean, he's not going to do it until he passes out.
Usually I stop him.
Yeah.
I don't know when I'm not around.
Yeah, I mean, I have a cat of my own that likes to sleep with his face stuffed right into the couch. I wonder how much he breathes that way. But I guess I don't know that there's much you can do about a behavior like that except to interrupt him when you see it. I can't imagine he's going to do himself any harm. And it must just be some weird kick he gets out of doing it. I don't know. You got me on that one. I don't know how to stop that behavior. Good luck.
Thanks, Michelle. Over to Barbara in Poughkeepsie. Barbara.
Hi. Thanks for taking my
call.
We have a rescue dog. We got him about 2 years ago. We don't really know how old he is, probably 7 to 9. And he has been licking at one of his front paws, you know, sort of for the last maybe two and a half months. I took him to the vets about 6 weeks ago because we were going away and didn't want my sister, who was watching him, to be dealing with anything. And they really said there was nothing going on particularly, I guess. But he's sort of continuing the behavior, and I wondered what questions I should be asking or what I should be trying. We had this problem last summer, and the doctor prescribed Betagen topical spray, mm-hmm. but I'm not even sure if that actually is sort of deterring him from licking, or is it actually addressing something?
Well, Betagen is basically a combination product that has some antibiotic in it and some cortisone. You know, generally, licking paws is a behavior that's usually associated with allergy. Is he licking the tops of the paws or the bottoms of the paws?
The tops.
Yeah. Mm. So when they lick the tops of their paws, it often is a sign of allergy. But he's only doing one paw?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
He'll do both, but one is more, he favors
okay.
one. So.
Yeah. So my feeling would be this is most likely an allergy. Did he do it all winter?
He did not. Started maybe in February. The other thing that may come into play is he had a lot of gastrointestinal issues, so we started making his own food late fall.
Okay.
And we're doing chicken, beef, vegetables, and rice or potatoes, with bone meal and a dog vitamin.
Right.
All right, we're running out of time here, Doc.
Okay.
So
yeah, so you know, unfortunately, it could be environmental allergies. It could be food allergy. So if it's food allergy, unfortunately, the the homemade diet is not going to be the best thing for him.
Okay.
But there are ways that you can talk to your vet about doing a homemade hypoallergenic diet that you could try.
All right, Barbara, that'll have to be it. And Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin, thanks a lot. I hope you feel better. Thanks for pulling through here with a cold.
Well, you're welcome.
I hope you get out to the golf course soon. And support for WAMC comes from Capital Wine at State and Lark in the heart of Albany, offering local and international wines. Wines and tastings are Fridays 6 to 9, CapitalWineStore.com. Upstate Divorce Mediation, specializing in helping couples who are seeking a legal separation or divorce. Offices in Albany, Saratoga, and Catskill. UpstateDivorceMediation.com. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, presenting its third annual Lake George Hikeathon July 5th. Early bird registration until April 30th, lakegeorgehikeathon.org. And the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. Thanks to all for calling and for listening today. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Your phones were answered by Colleen O'Connell. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's spring, all right, the gardening show. Stay tuned now for a news update.